have a title here, I believe the Lord gives for us to consider, and we're calling our teaching Physical and Mental Fatigue. Physical and Mental Fatigue. One of the things the enemy is very subtle and good at is trying to wear you out, physically or mentally. And he does it in all sorts of ways. He often knows our weak areas and he plays on them. And it's often our weak areas that can cause both mental and physical fatigue. The physical fatigue can come often when the mind is troubled. Because if the mind is troubled, then it doesn't take long physically where you begin to pick up what is going on. If you are depressed in the mind, it will come out in your gestures physically. If you are happy and joyful, it comes out physically in our gestures. So we know that there is much with regard to our thinking, the mind. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, the word of God says. And this is why we make such bold confessions that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we're also baptized in the Holy Spirit, where we're able to speak in tongues, building ourselves up in our most holy faith. So we see that the Holy Spirit provides for this physical and mental fatigue. But sometimes we're actually tested in these areas. God permits and allows us. And we almost at times feel as though we come to a breaking point. And they very often are the trials of our faith. But of course, we have learnt over the years how much that our trials and our tests are not only tailor-made, but they are to produce something within us, a stability, to help us to stand, to be steadfast, to strengthen our faith. So we have the Word of God there for every situation and trial we go through. And this is why the Spirit reveals to us that through the trials, we yield to the fruit of the Spirit that is in our lives. Remember, the fruit of the Spirit is not found in you. It is found in Christ who lives in you. And so through every situation we find ourselves going through, there is a fruit in which to stand and draw from, that will hold, that will sustain. I believe the Apostle Paul was experiencing this when he was seeking the Lord through the trials that he was going through, the revelation that he's receiving, the responsibility that he has for the churches and ministry. And he's at times physically and mentally fatigued because he was human, like the rest of us are. Even Jesus was. And he sought the Lord in this particular area three times, and God said, "My grace is sufficient." The Apostle Paul was being taught by the Holy Spirit to draw from the Spirit, to draw from the fruit of the Spirit, that love, joy, long-suffering, peace, gentleness, and so on. So we all have to be taught this. And of course, the only way we're ever taught these things is to actually go through it. Why are we to go through much trial and tribulation of which to make it into the kingdom of heaven? Because that is where we exercise our faith. You see, God so designs our life and walk and the trials that he permits us to go through so that our faith is active. We act our faith. We won't do it otherwise. We'll just sit on our laurels and we'll just read the word and pray and that's it, but we won't walk it. And so God has to call us to walk this walk, the same as he called Abraham and family and said, you will walk before me. He called him. And so our calling is a calling of walking with God, actively using our faith. But in that walk that we have, there are times where there's physical and mental fatigue. Why? Because we're human. We are flesh and blood. Our Lord had to rest. Our Lord knew what it was to feel hungry, and so on. So these are the experiences that we go through. And when we go through these experiences, which sometimes are quite often, this is where we have to learn to stand and endure. Very often in a trial, it's simply standing there, watching and seeing the salvation of God. Very often at times, God places us in possible situations where we cannot see any way out. We feel maybe we're trapped. We're in a situation that just doesn't make any sense. This is where God gets our attention. This is where he's going to reveal to us that we draw from his strength. He's provided and given us all of that through the Blessed Comforter, the Holy Spirit. But we all at times experience these physical and mental fatigue. And it's easy to become weary, especially when waiting for answers to prayer, or when the Lord takes us through a trial, or when will the Lord vindicate? It seems as though everything is against me. I am the one that looks the bad person. And it always raises that question, why do the righteous suffer? Because God has an appointed time. And God will vindicate, because when we remain in trials and tests, what they don't realize, those who persecute us, that they're coming against Christ in you. That is the one they're coming against, or whatever it would be. Or if the devil is trying to wear you down, he is coming against Christ in you. This is why so often we simply stand our ground and watch as God works through the whole situation. Where it hinders God is when we try to take over. We are going to do something about it. I am going to vindicate my name. I am going to take that person to court. Or I am going to go round and give them a good what for. Or even if we lash out, God then cannot work on our behalf. We then find that he has to unravel the damage that we have caused, or what we have done in the flesh, so that you're simply adding more to your trials, to your burdens. Stand and see the salvation of God. How often did God reveal that principle to Israel, or when Israel went out into battle? They had to obey God. God always gave them the commandments, the revelation of what he was going to do, and they had to obey it. Then they saw God vindicate Israel's name in battle and in war. And that same principle applies for us, brothers and sisters. We're not to lash out to get our own back. We die daily as the Word of God says, as we take up our cross and identify with him. That is what the cross is for. That is what you hang on that for. So that God will resurrect you. God will preserve you, the same as he did with Jesus. The gates of hell could not prevail against him. No demon could hold him. And God raised him up in resurrection power and might. Why? Because he went like a lamb to the slaughter. That is the mind and heart of God. That is the will of God. And you go against that, and you start to create problems. You hinder what God wants to do. This is why so often he tells us simply to zip lip and say nothing. And God then will say and speak through you. So when we don't do these things, this is where we can start to become mentally and physically tired, fatigued, because we're letting the enemy in, who's going to buffet us and wear us out. That's what he does, you see. He's very, very clever, very subtle. Well, let's look at some scriptures. What does it say in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. Don't grow weary in doing good. And God calls us to do good works, good deeds by faith. And sometimes those good deeds is thrown back in our face. They're ungrateful. They're not thankful. They don't recognize what you have done. We don't react on that. We simply die to it. You need to be in ministry to learn that one. And you will realize that preaching, teaching the word, you don't get much encouragement. Trust me. But you learn to do it unto the Lord. That is the one you do it to. And whatever the outcome, that is in God's hands. But we're faithful to the calling that God sets in our lives. What does Galatians chapter 6 have to say with regard to this? And this talks about our sowing and our reaping, which has a lot to do with our physical and mental walk. For example, in Galatians 6, let's take it from verse 6 onwards. Galatians 6, verse 6. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So here, the apostle addressing the church at Galatia is telling them, through the teaching of the word, they're not to be deceived, because he's saying whatever you sow is what you reap. And you can sow things to the flesh and you can sow things to the spirit. And he then goes on to say, and don't grow weary in this walk, in how God is teaching you. Because we should, as Christians, we should be doing a lot of sowing. That's our walk. We're called to be fruitful. And our sowing should be sowing to the Spirit, not to the flesh. Love, bearing with one another, going that extra mile, loving the unlovable, our labours in prayer and intercession, building relationship with God, which is step by step. You don't get all of these things immediately. Our steps of faith, as we grow in the faith each day, we're called to be peacemakers in the world. So all of that is how we sow, and we should be sowing to the Spirit. Because as we sow to the Spirit, the promise is that he will give us everlasting life, as he says in verse 8. And what does it say in verse 9? And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. What does 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58 say? 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. So the Lord calls us in the vineyard to be busy, to be steadfast, immovable. That's what the Spirit is working within us, because as Jesus said, those who endure to the end will be saved. So he's calling us to faithfulness, always abounding in the work of the Lord. In other words, we're mindful of God's work, being used of God, ministering. That's the whole body, not just the pastor or the teacher. Knowing that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. It has to be in the Lord. You do it unto him. Otherwise, you are not going to do this. You will start to sow to the flesh because you want your own way. Everything is done unto the Lord. And if you have not fully understood that, ask God to give you a revelation of that. Your labour, you're doing it unto him. And in some way, in some time, he will show you his heart in that situation. He will let you know at times the delight you are giving him in what you are doing, in your labour, in your love, or going that extra mile. Why? Because the fruit of the Spirit is in him. There are times you just have to do it. No feelings, no emotions, no sign from God or whatever, but there's just a knower that you just do it because you know that it's right. And there are times and experiences where we have to do just that. There are also times when it seems that nothing is happening. How long, Lord? Well, we all feel that one. We probably said it out of desperation to God. Lord, how much longer does this take? You know that my life is only short in comparison to eternity. Well, you leave it with God, because the delays with God is that there is a bigger picture, a bigger blessing and glory involved. That's why. You see, we limit God in our thinking, in our mind, in our haste. We can limit him, but you see, God takes his time because he's working behind the scenes. And it's much, much more complex than what you or I are seeing. That's often why it is. But what does it say in 2 Peter chapter 3, and verses 14 to 15. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verses 14 to 15. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to those things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, as it is written to you. As also in all his epistles, speaking to them of these things, to which are some things hard to understand, which unlearned and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know the beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but growing grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. So, being steadfast, the apostle says, enables you to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. That's why. So, sometimes it appears as though nothing is happening, because he says quite clearly here, he's getting you to grow in grace, because he says, my grace is sufficient. He wants you to have much more knowledge of who? Of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Not simply just the letter of the word, but the person behind the word of God. To him be glory both now and forevermore. This is why at times it looks as though nothing's happening, because God is taking me deeper with him. That's why. And if you can hold on to that, you will draw from his grace. For the Spirit, for the fruit of the Spirit is in him. You're drawing from him that life, so that you can remain steadfast, immovable. You see, God's nature and heart is always to save. And he's showing us from the word of God how he moves in which to save us to the utmost. What does James chapter 5 verses 7 to 9 tell us? James chapter 5 and verses 7 to 9. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until he receives the early and latter rain. So there's a former rain and a latter rain that is to come in. It is a harvest. Some of that harvest is already reaped. They're there in glory, but the rest is to be reaped on the earth before judgment falls. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed to endure, who have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Above all, my brethren, and it goes on, do not swear by an oath. So there we are. The whole emphasis is about waiting and not becoming physically and mentally fatigued in that waiting, because this is where the enemy attacks. And he suggests all sorts of things to us, that God isn't faithful, God hasn't heard you, it's not going to happen, let's face it, you're looking around at other people and you're not seeing much going on in their lives. I know, because he says it to me. But I'm waiting on the Lord. That's what I tell him. I'm waiting by his strength and might and power, not in myself, because I'm getting a greater knowledge and revelation of Jesus Christ. Every day in this walk as a Christian, your knowledge, understanding and revelation of God increases each day. And that's why God gives us an anointed word faithfully twice a week for that very purpose of growing in the knowledge and revelation and understanding of God. You see, for the purpose of not being fatigued mentally or physically, because that's where the enemy wants to bring us down. If he can hold us physically, he can try and paralyze us. He's very subtle, he's very clever. Because we know as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The mind has a tremendous control over the body and the nervous system. And God is training our minds to think positively, to think upon that which is good and godly, and so on, you see? So that our actual bodies, we can live well. We can have our youth renewed like the eagles. We can still be sound mentally in old age for that very purpose, waiting for the coming of the Lord. And fine, let's look at two more scriptures. We know this one very, very well, but I'm going to read it from Isaiah 40 and verse 31. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. There we are, being rejuvenated, quickened by the Spirit, giving us still that strength even in old age, still keeping up with the younger ones. That is what he's doing. And we walk and we don't faint when we see things or when we hear the news or how negative it would be. We still continue to stand when so many are falling. And we're seeing it now in these closing days. So many people are falling mentally, physically, psychologically. It's an epidemic. But not with the overcomers, praise God. And finally, let us look at 1 Corinthians 16, verse 58. 1 Corinthians 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. There we are. We've read that out, we read it at the beginning, and we've read it here again. Because the Apostle Paul is speaking from experience here. He had to go through much trial and testing, shipwreck, imprisonments, beatings, hungers, and so on. And through all of that, he was learning not to become physically and mentally fatigued and tired, but he said to be steadfast, immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. In other words, we're not put off, but we continue with the work of the Lord. Whatever the devil is trying to throw at us, we continue to be faithful to what he's called us, knowing that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. And it's not. And I know that there are times when it just seems there's no more strength that's left in one. But when we put God first, when we see that it's always unto the Lord, you will find that something within you rises up. There is a power that starts to work on your behalf. And you know that that's not just from you. Our help comes from the Lord, the word the psalmist tells us. And so we draw from the life of Christ. We draw from the fruit of the Spirit that is found in him. And when we do that, we will not experience this physical and mental fatigue that tries to paralyze us, that tries to put us to bed, or whatever it would be. But we will find that we will be able to keep up. We will be able to continue to do the things of the Lord and what he wants of us, to be busy in the vineyard. This is what I believe the Spirit is saying in this final lap of this race that we find ourselves in, because so often the last lap of a race is the test. When the bell rings, that's the last lap. That will sort out those who got that, just that extra energy. And for the overcomers, it will be those who have that extra oil in their vessels with their lamps. And they will be the ones who will go through and meet the bridegroom. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. Physical and mental fatigue. That's what we've been talking about today. And I trust it's helped and blessed you. And you've learned a lot more about how God works with us. And that's why we come together to listen to his word.